See Herb already flipping to the scripture passage. I'm sorry, I put the wrong one in. I don't know if anybody noticed, this is last week's. So, it's been an interesting week. Our scripture reading today is from Ezekiel 18, 1 through 4. So the whole other side. And the sermon title is Sour Grapes, Not About Communion. So from Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The parents eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For everyone belongs to me, the parent as well as the child. Both alike belong to me. The one who sins is the one who will die. Now, we see here Ezekiel and God speaking through him, picking up on something that the Israelites have done for years. They've always said, man, this is troubling. It's troubling times. You know, the crops are failing. We're in captivity. Whatever it may be, something's going wrong. Something major to the nation. And the first thing they say is, God, why are you punishing us for what our parents did? It's not our fault. We're doing great. Why are you punishing us? So God here, he says, I'm going to clear this up. You're not going to say this anymore. What you do is what you do. What they do is what they do. And it seems, as then, as of today, people, they always find something or someone to blame for whatever is going wrong in their lives. Instead of taking the responsibility for themselves, or whatever it may be. But in reality, as we see here from Ezekiel, that there's not a good excuse for our personal behavior. Sin, it's an individual choice. Going against God, going against our neighbor, that's a choice we make. It's not a choice that our parents made for us. It's not a choice that God made for us. It's a choice that we make. Like I said, the children of Israel here, they make excuses, and they kept making excuses. They were saying they were born into this sin, this terrible time, and there's nothing they can do about it. But the truth is, they sinned on their own just as much as their parents did. And oftentimes, the Old Testament says they did worse. They couldn't lay blame on anyone else but themselves for the troubles they were having. You know, Israel, they complained to God for their suffering, and they kept making these excuses over and over. Yet they continued to live according to their own desires. And for God's commandment of living this righteous life, I mean, we say today, living this life of Christ, following him, you know, we have the Old, the New Testament. We sort of know what that means. But for the Israelites, he laid it out. He said, this is how it's going to be. This is the life. This is the righteous life to follow. There's freedom in that. There's choice. But he spoon-fed it to them. But even through that, they forgot and said, it's someone else's fault, not our fault. We're doing great. That don't matter. They're constantly looking for someone to blame. It was my parents, it was the priest, it was the king, it was the prophet, it was this other nation, it wasn't me. And they use the same old excuse. The parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouth pucker at the taste. And what they're trying to say here is our parents are the ones who sinned. We're the ones who punished. Why weren't they punished? Blaming this punishment of sinful action on the parents. The Lord, he got tired of it. He got tired of this old excuse. And he sent Ezekiel to clear things up. Now, I don't know about having kids. I don't have kids. But I know growing up, I had the same couple of excuses always pulled out of the bag when I got in trouble. And then one day, Mom was like, no, you can't use that one again. There's no excuse for it. You did it, and that's the end of it. So that's what God did here. So let's look into the book of Ezekiel, these verses, and a couple later on, to try to get a deeper understanding of how that means for us. What does that mean today? Start out with verse 4 here. God said, for all people are mine to judge, both parents and children alike, and this is my rule. The person who sins is the one who will die. Now, there's no doubt that in the world, our lives, we can be affected by the choices of others, and there's things out of our control. Now, there's going to be bad things that happen that aren't our fault, and that's okay, it happens. We experience these storms in our lives. Sometimes we bring them on ourselves. And some happen by circumstance, some caused by others, whatever it may be. But we have these storms. But no matter what happens, it's our choice to remain faithful in God's word, use the gifts we have are given to serve Him, and make the right decision. Whatever's happening to us, to make the right decision. To constantly follow Christ, constantly be with God. That's our one option. Life is very much like any sport. I grew up, I'm big in sports. I played sports my entire life. So the official, whatever sport it may be, makes a call, and we got to abide by it. You know, the ref throws the flag, blow the whistle. That's the end of it. You can't argue your way out of it. Even though players and coaches try all the time, that's the call. We have no control over the way the official call the game. When they're on the field, they're calling, and that's the end of it. No matter how loud we yell at our TV sometimes. We know sometimes the calls come our way and sometimes they don't. But the main thing is, especially as the player, you have to focus on the way you play the game. That's the most important part. How are you playing the game? Are you the reason your team is failing? Or are you doing your job? Doing whatever it takes to get the win. Do whatever it takes to win that game of whatever it is. Just like in sports, we're responsible for our own actions. Not those of everyone else around us. You know, you can't control if that defender didn't pick up the block. You can't control that field goal kicker missed that kick. That's not your control. What's in control is if you made the right play. So later in verse 20, which is outside of our reading, but it's another important part. The person who sins is the one who will die. The child will not be punished for the parent's sins, and the parent will not be punished for the child's sins. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and wicked people will be punished for their own wickedness. Now again, we can lay blame wherever we want. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world. My outfit today, for example, Taylor had work. I'm not color coordinated as well. I can't sing. I can't pick out colors. It took me 10 minutes to figure out if I was going to wear a tie and then which tie to pick out. It was terrible. It took every ounce of power I had. And I can blame her all I want. Ah, you had work. You should have taken off and picked my clothes out. That's not right. That's not how it is. I'll tell you, she would tell me that too. She wouldn't hold that one back. But here, God, He's saying plainly to them, He says, whoever sins, the one who gets punished. If you mess up, it's on you. You can blame whoever you want, but you're wrong. Stop blaming others. Own up to your own actions. He says, there are no more excuses. We have no one else to blame for our punishment, for our sin, but ourselves. We're the ones to blame for that. He said, here it is, spoon feeding it to you. Here's your answer. Now, the outcome of our eternal life is not, it's not determined by our DNA. It's not determined by how our parents acted. The sins of our parents, they cannot condemn us. And in the same way, the faith of our parents, they can't save us either. No matter how hard you try. It's up to us to believe. It's up to us to make the decision to follow Christ. To make the decision to spend eternity with Him. There's more on top of that. When you repent, when you live in this life of obedience to God, you know, He says, that's okay you made a bad play. That's okay you fouled that player. And that's okay you may have lost your team the game. It's all right. It's all in the past. Don't worry about it. Let's look to the future. Let's look to the now. Let's look past the sins and all the condemnation you deserve for what you've done and what you will do. Cast wash to clean slate. It's okay. Through Jesus, you can be alive in Him instead of dead in sin. We get to verse 21-22. But if wicked people turn away from all their sin and begin to obey my decrees and do what is just and right, they will surely live and not die. All their past sins will be forgotten, and they will live because of the righteous things they have done. To sin or not to sin is a choice we make. We have the freedom to choose what we do or what we don't do. Which is another cool thing about me and Methodist. We believe in freedom of choice. Which also stinks a little bit because you have no explain, like we're saying here. But man, you got the freedom. You do whatever you want to do. But you got to live with that choice. We're free to turn away from evil and live in righteousness, or turn from God and live in sin. It's our choice And we face the consequences of those actions, whether good or bad. You know, it would be great if we could blame someone else for our sins and our mess ups, but we can't. We live or die based upon what we do with the gospel of Jesus. Now, God, He gives us the promise of life if we make the choice to follow Him. By following Him, we turn away from our past sins. We live this righteous life that leads to salvation through Him. Let me get a little bit later in verses 30 to 32. It says, "Therefore I will judge each of you, O people of Israel. According to your actions, says the Sovereign Lord, repent and turn from your sins. Don't let them destroy you. Put all your rebellion behind you and find yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O people of Israel? I don't want you to die, says the Sovereign Lord. Turn back and live." Yeah, it leads us to a choice. God says, don't die. Live in me. Live in faith. Don't die to sin. Live in God. You know, as all the prophets do, it can be directly related to the New Testament. Live in Christ. Live in this new life. You know, this new heart, this new spirit that Jesus talks about. So the choice is we choose life or death. We accept God's grace and change your heart. Now, not all of you, maybe, but I certainly was like, they don't matter. Not that it doesn't matter, but I've answered these questions. You know, when I was younger, I came to Christ. When I was younger, I got baptized. I went through confirmation. I stood in front of the church and said, I believe. So I'm good, right? I did it. I'm done. I don't have to worry about this. I chose life, and that's it. I'm good to go. I mean, we're all Christians here. Everybody I've talked to has said they grew up in church, and they all accepted Christ at a young age. That's great. We accepted this grace. That we're free from sin in Him, we're doing great. We're done. But, you know, I'll be the first to admit it. Me being a Christian and me being a pastor up here, it can be hard sometimes, but I sin on a daily basis. Sometimes I realize it, sometimes I don't, and that's okay. There are many times during the day I don't turn to Christ. I just don't do it. I get sidetracked. I choose to follow the world. I choose to follow the way of the flesh, the way of the world, whatever analogy you might want to say. There's not a day that goes by that I don't sin. And I'm human. It happens. We do that. We make a choice to sin and forget about God. Accidentally, sometimes on purpose, we look away. This is why these verses are so important to us today. It reminds us that we are in charge of our own salvation. We can't blame it on anyone else. We can't blame it on the circumstances around us. We can choose a sinful life or a life in Christ. It's all up to us. It's all your choice. It's a choice you have to make every single day. Regardless of how great of a Christian you think you are, you may be, whatever it is, it's a daily commitment to Christ. It's a daily commitment to follow Him. You know, one of the greatest Christians I can think of is Paul. I mean, he wrote most of the New Testament with these letters to the churches. He was a major player in some of the other books. But every day he said, you know, I sin. I fall short of the glory of God. And that's my choice. I've done it. So every day I got to recommit. I got to tell God, hey, I'm sorry. I messed up again. Take me back. Lead me down this road that you called me to follow. The life of righteousness that you taught the Israelites and that you taught us through Jesus. Lead me down that road. He woke up each day and I'm sure he prayed for God's grace and forgiveness. For all the sins he has committed, we'll commit that day, knowing or unknowing. So that's what we should do as well. Wake up. Ask for this forgiveness. Ask for this grace, this power, this peace. Ask him to lead you from the sin, the ways of the world, lead you to life in him. That way, we can become one in Christ and one in each other. A family of God, a family of believers, community in the Spirit, to support one another, to help one another, and to walk the straight and narrow, as Paul says. He'll pray with me. Lord, again, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, and allow us all to gather here and worship you. Lord, thank you for opening our hearts and opening our minds to receive your word this morning. Lord, help us to remember you every day, to not turn away from you into wickedness, but to do what is lawful and right. And through that, to have our souls safe with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.